Eris, thank you for being the first one to come on the podcast to share one of their dreams and see where the hell this goes.
Thank you for having me. I didn't know I was the first one. Oof, my heart just started beating really fast.
You are the first.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
So, what was your dream?
Oh, okay. So, it's funny because I actually had two different dreams, but I think I'm just going to go with this one. So I can't remember exactly how it started, but I was sort of, I was like walking down this like cobblestone street. It sort of felt like I was in like a tropical city, like Miami or something like that. So I'm walking and I'm going to a house, and it's just like a regular, like, it's like a one level house. It's pretty open. And I don't know why I'm going there. I can't remember all those details, but I'll just like fast forward to, being in the living room of this house. And there's a father, there's a husband, the wife, there's twin boys, a daughter. She probably looks like she's like in her 20s or something, and there I think there was a son, probably in his 20s as well. And I remember just like looking around the house and starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Usually I'm like fine with strangers, like I love meeting people, I'm good in like social situations, I guess, but I started to just feel like the sense of uneasiness. So I started to look around and notice like, okay, the window's over there, like the front door's over there, the back door's over there. I was trying to like make an exit without anyone noticing. So I walked to the kitchen where there's like a side door, and the daughter notices, I think, like what I'm about to do. So she like starts a conversation with me, and she follows me, and she blocks the exit. And so in my head, in my dream, of course, I'm like, okay, well, she knows what I'm doing. And then my like panic starts to like rise. So I go, okay, let's go back to the living room. I walk back to the living room, and then I venture to the twin boys' room. This is going to be the weirdest part. Don't judge me.
It's all good.
So, so I go to their room, and there's like two twin beds, and it doesn't really look like your average like 12-year-old room, because they were definitely like 11 or 12 or something like that. And there's like no posters on the wall or anything like that, which is kind of weird that I remember noticing. And I sit at the edge of one of the beds, and one of the twins sits down like next to me, and then he starts to like scooch over, and then he scooches over a little more, and I start to feel uncomfortable. I'm like, is this little kid trying to like kick it to me right now? This is really inappropriate. So I stand up to leave, and the other twin goes, Hey, I have something I want to show you. And he puts his hands up, and his palms are like facing me, and he's waving his hands. He's like, look. I'm like, okay, sure. Show me what you got. And he like shakes them like for me to look at his palms. Then he places his palms over his eyes. And then when he removes them, his eyeballs are in, one eyeball is in each palm. And I start to freak the fuck out. And I'm like, this is the weirdest fucking house. I need to get out of here. So I leave the bedroom and I go to the living room. And then the whole family is just like eerily standing there, and they're just like staring at me. And it's like they can read my mind or something. It just feels like, it doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel like human. It feels like they're salivating or something. Not like they're going to eat me, but if like, you know how in horror movies or something, when you're walking down like a long hallway and they have like those old school paintings and the eyeballs are cut out and people are like watching you. So that's what it felt like. It felt like I was being watched like super intensely.
Yeah.
And the father was standing by the front door, and the wife was standing by, like, there was like a sliding door to a patio, and they were like blocking all my exits. And then after a while, I was like, okay, I can't be polite anymore. I say, I am so sorry. Thank you so much for having me here, but I need to go. And the father's like, are you sure? Like, yes, I think it's time for me to leave. He's like, but there's so much I want to show you. I'm like, you know, that's totally fine. I think it's time for me to leave. And he goes, well, that's all you had to do. So he steps out of the way and like he opens the door. And I start to feel also like, is this the right move? I don't know. So anyway, I leave the front door and there's like all these like stonework, like all these steps leading down the path. And when I step outside, I'm like, what is this? And there's like a huge waterfall. Like the house is like on the top of a hill, like on the side of a mountain or something. There's this raging, like crazy waterfall, like directly next to them. And there's like all this fish, like these crazy fish that like I've never seen, like they don't exist on planet Earth. They're like dolphins with like glittery skin and they're like hopping in and out of the water. And they're, as they're like going down the waterfall, like they jump in and out of it, sort of like they're flying or something. And they're like happy as hell. You can tell, like they're just like the happiest little creatures. And I'm like, what? And then I look to the right of me and it's just like those most like these beautiful flowers and like super green, like super lush, like plant life, vegetation. I don't even know. And then I hear this sound like a squawk or something. And I look up in the sky and I guess the closest thing would be like a phoenix or something. Obviously another bird or something that it doesn't exist on this plane, that doesn't exist in real life. And it's just like got huge red wings and it's just like soaring. And there's like all this, like, I guess like glitter iridescence coming out of it. And there's like a bunch of them. They're just like flying around. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, like in a dream. Wow. And I've seen some weird shit, but this was just like, like colors. And it was beautiful. So, and I think to myself, fuck, maybe I shouldn't have left. So I turn back around, like I turn to look at the house. And the whole family's there, like at the exit, and the father has his arm around the wife and the daughter's leaning on the mom and the twins are holding hands. I'm trying to remember now if there was a brother. I think there was. I didn't really interact with him, but I think he was standing there too. And they're just like waving at me and they look kind of sad. And then I start to feel like I don't think I'm supposed to leave. And it's too late now. And so I'm standing there and I'm like, how do I get home? Where do I go? And the father's like, just go down there. You'll be fine. So I walk down these steps. And you know how usually like by a waterfall, the rocks are usually like super slippery and it's kind of dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I like, there's like this path of like these like skipping stones somehow across the waterfall that I'm easily able to just like step on. So as I'm stepping, I'm just like watching, like, you know, seeing at the bottom of my feet, there's like these raging waters and this beautiful, these like beautiful creatures everywhere. And as I get to the other side, because I live in New York, I live in Brooklyn. So, which is, it's really funny actually when I think about it, because there was a sign pointing to the L train and there's a staircase. And so I'm like, oh, there's the train. I was like, I had no idea this was here this whole time. Who knew? And then I turn to look at me and I'm just like taking one more look in and it's like the sun is setting and it's like beautiful. It was just the most gorgeous. Like if I had the gift of like drawing, I wish I could just like paint it because it was beautiful. Otherworldly goodness. So anyway, I go up the stairs to go to the train and the minute I get to the top of the stairs, it's like completely void of like color, like, everything just looks super mundane and it feels not depressing. It just doesn't feel as bright. And even sound doesn't, it feels like it's sort of dull. And I look behind me, like out the windows of the train station at that whole like land or those whole people. It was like all gone. And then it was just like regular city steps and I mean, city like streets and buildings and stuff. And then I felt like, fuck, I don't think I'm supposed to leave. And that's the dream. The whole thing.
Wow. Okay. So of course there's a tremendous amount there. Thank you for sharing that. And I kind of want to
explain it right.
I don't think that you can explain it wrong. No, that was great. And I'm going to kind of walk through kind of the main themes and then probably ask you some questions and then see what I can get to, but kind of the broad brushstrokes. On how to interpret dreams in a Jungian way to the best of the ability that I understand it is houses or structures that we live inside of, they tend to represent our conscious mind on some level. As as a woman in your dream, women around your age, unless they're very, very young or very, very old, are going to represent your shadow, or at least aspects of your, of the woman that you could be that you currently aren't. And so that could be both good and bad. Men in your dreams, unless they're very elderly or they're very young, are going to represent what Jung would call your animus, which is your inner soul, essentially. And the first part of this dream feels like it's a commentary on your past, and that there was some situation. It might not be specifically with your family, but with people that felt like family, where you didn't really feel comfortable. And at first you tried to leave, and a part of your shadow, this is the girl at the beginning, kept you inside of the situation. And then that led to some situation where, so the two twin boys, you went upstairs and one was trying to kick it to you, in the words that you said. And I've never heard that term, which felt, is pretty interesting.
Really? Yeah. It's like a New York, old school New York thing. It felt obviously like he was, you know, right. He had like a little crush and he was making a move. And it was very inappropriate and very strange.
So what's interesting is kind of the way to get an understanding of your dreams is not what it shows you, but the feeling that the symbol makes you feel. And so the feeling feels like something inappropriate was being attempted. And then what the other child is showing you is that your animus pretended to be blind. Like that was the symbol of the child showing you the trick, which is to take out his own eyes, which feels like there was some aspect of your dancing with something in your past that you were being blind to willfully, almost as like a joke. And then what's really interesting is that when it gets really uncomfortable in this situation that feels like something specific that has happened in your past, the father, as a representation of your mature animus, basically said, yeah, all you had to do was just say that you were done and that you wanted to leave, and then you could leave. And then what feels like what happens is, so when we have parts in our dreams that feel otherworldly, Jung saw that as a representation of archetypes, which are basically like the old primal forces that are in all of us. Mm-hmm. When you left the front door, it feels like you've done something in your personal past where you left some situation in a very powerful way, and then you went through a period of rebirth. So,
this is so weird.
Check this out. Okay, so waterfall represents kind of like constant renewal. The water is a representation of the unconscious and emotions. Fish tend to be a deep representation of Christ, which is a representation on some level of dying and being reborn, which is kind of the essential, you know, trait of the hero, is they can transform themselves. And then of course you saw the phoenix, which is also a representation of death and rebirth. And it feels like this part of your life was almost so intense that it wasn't really, you weren't quote unquote sober. Like it was such a distinct period that came after the uncomfortable situation. And the end of the dream is actually kind of, it might not feel good in contrast, but I think it seems like it actually is a good symbol, in the sense that you went to connect to the subway, which is a representation of transition or change in your life. And once you actually got on it, in contrast to that magical part, it felt quote unquote bad. But even you in your description said it wasn't really bad. It was just kind of like real. Like it was just kind of like how it looks in real life now. And so,
right, like reality.
And so what that feels like it's telling me is that there was a part in your past that was bad, that you left in a heroic way. But then that period after the leaving was almost, you got lost in the sauce in that part of your life where you're just going a little bit too into the make-believe or the imagination. And now this third part of your life, you're more connected to what reality is. And it feels like this was kind of a dream that something has happened to where your psyche felt like it should show you, like, this is how far you've come.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Okay. So the whole, like, the family dynamic, I didn't really think about that, which is funny because it's plainly obvious, like, family. I did have like a strange, upbringing, and me and my dad, my stepdad, we clashed a lot. He was very, like, controlling, and I'm very, you know, I'll ask all these questions, and also he'll be like, you got to do this. And I'm like, but why? It's like, 'cause I'm your father. I'm like, yeah, but I need some more reasons. I need some more explanations because this doesn't make sense to me. So him and I just, like, disagreed on a lot, and I felt very, like, stifled. And I didn't want to leave my family because I was, like, the oldest. But I couldn't stay there because it just wasn't healthy for me. So him and I got in a huge fight, and I left. And that's like, and I left, like, I mean, not super young, but, like, pretty young enough. And I kind of just, like, figured everything out on my own. Definitely, the twin thing, like the concealing and the hiding something. I'm trying to think, like, about it. I don't think there was anything necessarily that I was, like, ignoring. I think it was just more of being like, oh, I can bear this. I got this. Just a couple of years, or once I finish college, and then, you know, I'll be fine. And I just couldn't take it. I was just like, you know, that side of me, it's weird. 'Cause it's like, I guess everyone has, like, their extremes, or when they're pushed to a certain corner, it's like, I try to be chilled for the most part. I'm pretty easygoing, but I'm also, like, well, especially back then, 'cause it was like, I was like a teenager. It was like learning my boundaries and just being like, I can't take this. Like, I'd rather just, like, face it out there, like, by myself than try to make this work, like, at home where I'm not able to be fully myself. And it's just, like, not healthy for me. It's driving me crazy. So maybe I guess that's what, like, the twin boys represent, which I guess could be interesting.
I would want to offer real quick, and for everyone else listening, is the way you said the twin thing could be that makes me feel that some part of you knows that that's not it. And it's okay. You don't have to know the answer right now. But, like, right. And, oh, like, that's a laughter of knowing. So the way you just laughed is, like, the part of you that knew that the first part wasn't true knows that what is being said now is true. And this is, like, the cool thing about dream interpretation, and also just about, like, journaling and really kind of getting to know yourself, is that there is a part of you that dreamt. There is a part of you that already knows all this shit. And when you hear the truth, it's going to resonate. And when you know it's not the truth, even if you're trying to be polite because maybe you're on a podcast, you're going to know that what you just said wasn't, it's not the truth. So this is, you know, we'll just put a pin there. We don't know what that means.
I do know what it means. It's just, like, super, I don't know if I want to, it's just there's some
things. No, exactly. So, right. Okay. So thank you for your truth. And I just want to hone in here. You don't have to share what it is, as long as you know what it is. And it's beautiful that you did know. And then you were trying to be polite and sweet on the podcast by saying,
I think I know. The thing is that, like, the thing that happened was, it was actually, like, I was around that age, and it wasn't me actually not ignoring something. I actually was very,
we do not have to talk
I
about
saw
it.
Some, I just saw, I saw something, and I didn't, I actually said something about it. I actually didn't, you know, ignore it. I was, like, calling attention to something that can we just take this little part out? I just it's funny though, because I actually didn't hide it. I actually, this creepy old dude, he was just super gross and inappropriate. And, you know, I was super afraid at the time because I was probably like 11. And, you know, you feel afraid in those moments. But I actually didn't hide it, though. I exposed them to everybody. I was just like, this guy's a fucking creep and don't trust him. And he ended up leaving the country the next day. And his wife like left him. So, which was cool, actually, because I remember his wife was like, you know, that was really brave of you to say something because nobody else probably would have. So I don't think I was hiding it. It actually was like the opposite where I didn't allow it to happen.
It might be that those two twins represent an aspect of your inner man, which is your animus, which is your connection to your soul in Jungian psychology. And maybe what the energy of that moment was, is that he was giving you his eyes, meaning that like you used your eyes, you know, so you would have to connect to the energy of that moment. Like, was he showing you something, or was he trying to give it to you? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to give. Yeah, he was like he was showing it. He wasn't trying to like, hey, take my eyeballs. it was just like, look what I can do. I can take them. They're here, and now they're over here. I'm definitely gonna be thinking about that later on. after we speak, I'm definitely gonna probably think about that and go a little deeper. But to speak on the other things you mentioned, it's actually pretty spot on, because the minute I left my house, my family, and it was just like on my own, it was like, you know, a whole new world, obviously, like freedom and not, you know, having anyone, you know, make you feel bad for the choices and the life you want to live. And it definitely went a little crazy for a while.
I'm sure.
Which I found it was exciting, though. It was like I went like to Brazil, and I was like doing DMT in the forest, and I'm like doing, like, you know, it's like I'm doing all this stuff everywhere, and I'm traveling around. And then definitely it was like, okay, girl, you need to take a step back, calm down, like this is not what life is like all about. So I definitely did obviously take a step back. And I think recently, because this stream was probably like less than a year ago, probably 6 months ago, but it did stand out to me, because out of all the dreams I have, you know, some of them are super bizarre, but something about that one like stuck, where I felt like that has like a message for me. So I think it's like, and when I think about like what you said and locking up the trains, it's like merging, like how can I in this life, in this moment, merge like the things I feel and see, like, you know, be creative and feel free. Mix that with like real life and keep it and just like have them merge. Which is funny. This is like what I'm thinking about, like with work, I feel like having a career change. And I'm like, so I'm asking myself like all these questions. So I guess, that's funny. Makes a lot of sense, but it's cool. You think it's a good omen, hopefully. Like,
yeah, I think that, I think it's showing you first where you've, how far you've come. And I think that you've already intuitively have extracted out the message, which is the path that you're going on, if you don't heed this dream, might be a path that is devoid of a lot of the magic and the imagination that you first kind of connected to when you left the house, but that you're already aware enough to see that you're going to try to consciously merge the two. And so you're responding properly to the dream, in my opinion. And the beautiful thing is that you're going to continue dreaming, and it'll constantly give you feedback on the way that you're living your life.
I do love my dreams. It was kind of difficult to pick just one. Because there's so many, but
I think you picked the right one.
I think I picked the right one. Yeah, I think I did.
And what I would offer for you going forward is there's a book that is the best kind of like practical guide to Jungian dream interpretation. It's called Inner Work by Robert Johnson.
Okay.
And so if you're interested in what, you know, in wanting to kind of be able to do this for yourself, that's the book that I would recommend.
Cool. Okay, I will. I actually just bought The Artist Way, and you know, you have to do like your dream, like when you wake up, you do like those free pages or whatever. So that could be kind of, I could use both of them, write it out and then use that. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that you listened to the podcast and that you gave a review and that you had the courage to come on and share your dreams.
Thank you. I love your podcast. This is fun.
Well, I hope you have a beautiful day. Keep dreaming, and thank you again.
You're welcome.